नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तेर्भवती नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। Reading from Canto 10, Chapter 11, Text Number 50. Tam talamulam pradahantam agniva Gopalasunum pitaram jagadguro Chacharda sadyo tirusha ऋषाक्षतम्बकः तुण्डेन हन्तुम् पुनरभ्यपद्यत तं तालमूलम् प्रदहन्तमग्निवा गोपालसूनुं पितरं जगद्गुरोः चच्छर्ध सद्योतिरुषाक्षतम्बकः तुण्डेन हन्तुं पुनरभ्यपद्यत तं तालमूलं प्रदहन्तमग्निवत् गोपालसूनुं पितरं जगद्गुरोः चच्छर्द सद्योतिरुषाक्षतम्बकः तुण्डेन हन्तुं पुनरभ्यपद्यत तं तालमूलं प्रवदन्तमग्निवत् Vaishnavis?
Kalamulam Prabhadam
Tam Krishna, Talamulam, the root of the throat, the root of the throat, Pradahantam, burning, Agnivat, like fire, Gopala Sunam, Krishna, son of a coward man, Pitaram, the father, Jagadguruh, of Lord Brahma. Chacharda, got out of his mouth. Sadhyaha, immediately. Atirusha, with great anger. Akshatam, without being hurt. Bakaha, Bakasura. Tundena, with his sharp beak. Hantum, to kill. Punaha, again. Abhyapadyata, endeavored. Translation and purport by the Vendis is Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Krishna, who was the father of Lord Brahma, but who was acting as the son of a coward man, became like fire, burning the root of the demon's throat. And the demon Bakasura immediately disgorged him. When the demon saw that Krishna, although having been swallowed, was unharmed, he immediately attacked Krishna again with his sharp beak. Purport. Although Krishna is always as soft as a lotus, within the throat of Bakasura, he created a burning sensation of being hotter than fire. Although Krishna's whole body is sweeter than sugar candy, Bakasura tasted bitterness and therefore immediately vomited Krishna up. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Yeyatamam prapadyante tamstathaiva bhajamyaham. When Krishna is accepted as an enemy, he becomes the most intolerable object for the non-devotee, who cannot tolerate Krishna within or without. Here, this is shown by the example of Bakasura. Om ajnanate mirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshuhun melitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha shri chaitanya manovishtam stapitam jena bhutale swayam rupa kadamahyam dadati svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sagitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Shri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा। Today's class was supposed to be given by His Grace Krishna Chandra Prabhu, and because Prabhuji is sick, I have been ordered to speak the class today. I am very sorry to disappoint you all, who must have eagerly awaited to hear the deep realizations of Krishna Chandra Prabhu. So I will repeat whatever little I could assimilate by understanding this purport. Here, the chapter entitled The Childhood Pastimes of Krishna, the different demons Krishna is killing one after another. Some few verses ago, we heard about Krishna killing Vatsasura. Then after that, in the Krishna world, Vatsasura, a demon killed him. Later on, when Balaram and cowherd boys, they arrived at this spot in the bank of Yamuna, they found a very huge demon in the shape of a baka, a duck. And he had already swallowed Krishna in his mouth. And they didn't find Krishna there. So they were all very much in anxiety and they almost became unconscious seeing this gigantic duck and not finding Krishna anywhere. And now in this verse we read what happened subsequently. See, the second line says, Gopala Sonum Pitaram Jagat Guruho. Two extreme explanation is given here. Although Krishna appears like the son of a covered man, like a small covered boy, yet he is the Pitaram Jagat Guruho. He is the father of the whole universe. And he is especially father of Brahma, the first created living being. By saying this, Shukadeva Goswami is assuring that Krishna is not an ordinary covered boy to be swallowed by a gigantic duck and easily killed. He is actually the father who creates all the living beings. Aham Bija Pradaha Pita. And he is the father of all creatures, every living being. So, the greatness of Krishna as well as sweetness of Krishna are explained in one line. He's a Gopala Sunum. He comes as a small covered boy simply to enliven the hearts of his devotees by performing pastimes. At the same time, he is Pitaram Jagadguru. He is not to be easily defeated by anyone. He is father of all living beings. Especially, it is explained here that Krishna is as soft as a lotus, but within the throat of Bakasura, he became hotter than fire. Similarly, he says, Krishna's body is sweeter than sugar candy, but Bakasura tasted bitterness when Krishna entered his mouth and he vomited him out of his mouth. So, these extremes are explained here, just like we say, Vajradapi Kathoram, Kusumadapi Komal. As hard as a thunderbolt or as soft as a rose. These are two extreme examples. But that's how Krishna acts with the different living beings, and the explanation is given here. The verse from Bhagavad Gita, Ye tamam prapadyante tamstateva bhajamyaham. He acts according to the different people. Recently I was reading one of the beginning verses of I think this is Akrura entering Vrindavan. Just prior to the chapter, there is some one particular word is used. Krishna is called as Adbhuta Karmanaha. Adbhuta Karmanaha. The word Adbhuta Karma means wonderful activity, but that Adbhuta Karma that is taught spoken there in Bhagavatam is about killing some demon. So how can killing of a demon be a wonderful activity? I had this question. Because killing is actually a horrible activity. It is a activity that offers pain to somebody. But how can it be Adbhuta Karma? Similarly, you will also find in the Kaliya's Daman Leela chapter, there is a word used, Adbhuta Charitam, it says. So, Adbhuta Charitam means a very wonderful history, a wonderful activity of Krishna. The glory of Krishna is said when he kills demons. And there is a reason for this. Why this kind of words are being used? Even Krishna hurting apparently some demon or any living entity ultimately brings the great benefit to everybody. In fact, not only to the demon, to so many. Try to compare this to, you know, Saubari Muni, who was residing in the Yamuna waters, underwater, to perform his penance. You know, he became angry on Garuda and he spelled out a curse. Due to having developed attachment for the fishes in the water, he wanted to do some good for them. So he started a fish welfare society. And then he came up with this new idea, cooked by his own fertile brain. What was that idea? I will drive away Garuda so that my dear fishes can live very happily. Let me do some social service to fishes. That was his idea. And what was the result of that? If you very carefully see subsequently, actually Garuda is the very dear servant of the Supreme Lord. He is never to be cursed by anyone. But then Garuda also did not come there at all to Yamuna. Although he was not bound to follow that rule, still he followed it. He didn't come. But instead of Garuda, who came there? Kaliya came there. When Kaliya came and lived in Yamuna waters, and the whole Yamuna water got poisoned, because of which cowherd boys drank the water and they dropped unconscious. All the fishes in the water died, perished. The fishes whom he wanted to protect, they could not be protected. Not only that, in fact, when Kaliya was coming and living in those waters, it is said the whole water became boiling hot water because of the poison. Due to which there will be water vapor above the water, which was causing the birds to drop dead into those waters. Like that. And not only that, the same fishes whom he wanted to protect, when they were mating with one another, Saubramani saw them and he fell down. And he came out of the waters and he married the 50 daughters of Mandata. So, his driving away Garuda, did it do anything? You see, he himself fell down and for many, many long years he had to suffer the consequence of the offense against Garuda. And the fishes all perished. And even the cowherd boys in Vrindavan who were playing joyfully, even they were poisoned to death by the waters. The birds were killed. So if you see like this, so many problems arrived because of one so-called welfare activity. What Saubari tried to do for the fishes, you see. On the other hand, you will see, when Krishna does some activity, it is Adbhuta Charitam. Why? It is very wonderful. He saved the Brijabasis from fear of Kaliya and the ill effects of Kaliya Nag. Is it not? Because he drove away the Kaliya from the Yamuna back. So Krishna brought about great good to the residents of Raj. And not only that, the Kaliya Nag also was asking Krishna, now if you are driving me away, if I am going to another place, then Garuda will attack me, what will I do? The Lord said, now I have placed my two lotus feet on your head, so because of it there is Shankh Chakra on your, just like in Diksha they give in Sri Vaishnavas, Shankh and Chakra, isn't it? So once in Shankh and Chakra is there, you have no fear of Yama. Similarly, because of the Garuda carrying the two lotus footprints of Krishna, Kaliya, the Garuda would treat him as a younger brother. So Krishna said, you have nothing to fear. Now that you have my footprint, it's like some ISI seal or something. You know? So it is authentic. And you have nothing to fear. Now we can go. So Kaliya became very happy. So he glorified Krishna as Garuda Dvaja. Why he called him Garuda Dvaja? You always ride only on Garuda, but once in a while if you want to call me for some seva, you can call me also. Then I can take you from one place to another. So in this way, Kali had nothing to fear now when he was leaving Yamuna and going away. So Kaliya was violent and the Vrajabasis were victims. So Lord saved the victims from the violent and saved the violent also. That is Adbhuta Charita. He not only saved the Vrajabasis from the poison of Kaliya, but he also saved Kaliya himself from Garuda. You see? And he also gave happiness to all the Vrajabasis through this wonderful pastime. So, Krishna's activities are Adbhuta Karma. Why? Because in one stroke he does multiple things, various activities, many, many things he does. That's why. So, there, I find a very beautiful verse which is relevant to this. See here, they are saying, Tavavatara Kalanigrahaya. Krishna, your avatar is for Kalanigrahaya, for destroying the demoniac beings. Ripo sutanam apitulya drishtir. Ripu means enemy. Suta means son. But you have tulya drishti towards Ripu and Suta, both. Towards your enemies and sons. How is that? You know, although Prahalad was a son of a demon, Hiranyakashipu, you protected him nevertheless. On the other hand, you can find Bhaumasura, who happened to be your own son, Sutam, but you killed him. So this is Tulya Drishti, like that they are saying. Somebody may happen to be your son, but if he becomes a demon and acts against the Brahminical culture and creating a great impediment for all the people of the world in attaining the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, then you may even kill your own so-called son. On the other hand, somebody may be a demon, somebody may be born in a demoniac family like Prahalad, but you protect him. Like that, they are saying. So they are saying, Anugrahoyam bhavatah kratohinaha dando asatam te khalu kalmashapaha. The punishment you give to the wicked relieves them of all their sins. They are saying. Whatever danda you give, without harboring malice, you relieve the demons of the demoniac nature and award liberation to them. This is a very difficult thing, which Krishna only can do. Without harboring any malice in his heart, he is punishing the demons and awarding them liberation. You will find, interestingly, Krishna, he doesn't kill the demons if they surrender to him. You see, Mayadhanav surrendered to Arjuna, Krishna's devotee. And Arjuna told him to surrender to Krishna, and he surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna did not kill him. You see, Krishna doesn't have to necessarily kill the demons if they give up their demoniac mentality. Like he blessed Vibhishan, or such demons. Or even Kaliya, he came with so much of poison, Krishna relieved him of the poison and didn't kill him and sent him away. So when he assured that he will not cause any harm to Vrajabasis, Krishna left him. So that goes to show Krishna's grace, mercy. But sometimes a demon's demoniac quality is so great that they are incorrigible. Still Krishna can do good to them. How? When Krishna would kill a demon, the demon becomes freed from all and all the sinful reactions, simply by Krishna's touch. Like you see, when Krishna danced on the head of Kaliya, he became freed from all the poison and everything. Similarly, those demons whom Krishna have to kill, they become freed from the sinful reactions and they ascend towards Brahma Jyoti. He gives them a padam. He gives them a very great destination after relieving them of the sin. You know, in the Ramayana, there is a very controversial episode of Vali being killed by Lord Ram. People talk a lot about it, but Lord Ram finished it in one sentence. How he did was not wrong. When Vali saw the arrow piercing his chest, he pulled it out and saw whose arrow was it. And he saw the name Rama engraved in it. So he was very shocked. And then Ram came out of the bush. And Vali asked him, "My dear Lord, I have only heard your glories till date. And you have a clean character. I have no information that you can behave in such a cowardly manner, that you have sent an arrow from behind the bush. As a Kshatriya, it doesn't befit you. How did you do such a thing? And being the Lord whom the whole world adores and glorifies, how did you do such a thing? So Lord Ram told him, Vali, a Kshatriya king has the duty to uphold Dharma. And I am acting on behalf of Bharata. So, to uphold Dharma, I have to kill those who break the laws. And you are eloping with another man's wife, so you deserve to be killed. So I killed you. In case you say, we are after all monkeys, we can do such things. And we keep doing such things quite often. You may say that. If you say so, then as a Kshatriya can do the go for a hunting excursion. Similarly, behind the bush and behind a Kshatriya kills animals. It's not counted as a mistake at all. If you think you are an animal, my killing you was justified. If you say you are a human being, you have the sixth sense, then you are supposed to act wisely, which you didn't act. So either way, my killing you is justified. There is no mistake in this. At the time, Vali told Lord Ram, my dear Ram, you can never be wrong. We are fools who try to justify the wrongdoings in order to go on with our wrong activities. So I know very well what you have done is for my good and for the auspiciousness of the whole world. So I accept it. And he said, when you kill someone, they can never attain inauspiciousness, he said. There are two meanings of the word Hari. Dui Mukhyatam, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. One is Sarva Amangala Hare Iti Hari, he says. Another one is Premriya Hareman. He gives prem and he attracts the hearts of every living being. That's the meaning of Hari. So the first meaning of Hari is Sarva Amangala Hare means what? He steals our suffering, he steals our inauspiciousness, he steals our poison, he steals our anarthas, he steals our unwanted mentalities. Like the sun absorbs the urine and still doesn't get contaminated, it remains pure. Similarly, Krishna can absorb the sinful reactions when he kills somebody, either he himself or through his devotees like Arjuna also. So, many people in India argue, when they talk about Krishna, why God is so cruel? Now, could he not stop the Kurukshetra battle? Why did he kill, 60 crore people in such a huge battlefield, such a huge massacre? And most of the people from a social point of view argue with such kind of questions because they don't know the spiritual point of view. They think that the religion causes war and in the name of Dharma Yudha so many have been killed. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is mentioned that every one of those people killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained Padamapurasya, it is said. They attained their Paramapadam. There is one more verse which says, Gata Swarupam, it ends. Gata Swarupam means some of them attained their Swarupa, some of them attained the Parampadam. Parampadam means not necessarily Vaikuntha, it could be Brahma Jyoti. It's like saying, somebody entered into the area of Bombay, when you say. Yes, they have come to Bombay, but not yet to Chopadi. You can even say, somebody came to Bombay, to Dadar, but from there they arrived at Grant Road, Chopadi. They have come even more close. They have a good chance. So they came to Grant Road, but then they went to Chopadi Beach. They didn't come to temple. Isn't it? So, but then somebody comes to Chopadi temple here, then they are very fortunate. Then they see Srishil Radha Gopinath face to face. They can see. So, similarly, somebody attains Padam, Paravyoma they may attain. That is also a great destination. So, simply those who looked at Krishna with an envious eye, they were pierced by the arrows of Partha, Parthastra Puta. Puta, they became purified. Puta means purified. They said Puta na means not pure. Yeah, Puta na. Pure, not. Not pure. So she came with ill intentions, ill motivations. But Parthastra Puta means Partha Astra Puta. By the weapons of Arjuna, they became purified. Because Parthastra is non different from Krishnastra. Because Partha is a transparent pure devotee of Krishna. So he is purifying all the enemies. It's like Krishna personally purifying. So they became purified. Padamapurasya, they attained that padam. By Krishna's arrow, they attained the param padam, you see. Is there anybody in this world who can kill somebody and do a great benefit to that person? It's not possible. Like you see, in those days when America was newly discovered, you know, when Europeans entered into America, there were some people already living there, Red Indians. So Native Americans, as you say. Now, the people who are entering now, they felt that these are barbaric people, uncultured people, they would become a great menace for us. So, what to do? Whenever anybody thinks somebody is my enemy, first the person will try to subdue the enemy. If one cannot subdue, then they will vanquish the enemy. Finish it off. So, some of the things that subsequently they did is very painful to know. It's a painful history. Like, you know, they distributed free blankets for these people, these tribals, as if they are doing a great benefit to them. But within those blankets were deadly, dangerous bacteria and viruses. And when people would put the blankets, these creatures would cling to their bodies and very soon kill them. By putting. So somebody may externally do something that appears like a benefit. But that may be very poisonous, very dangerous. Just like Putana coming and giving milk, but she wanted to feed poison, you see. Such ill motivations. This is actually duplicity, duplicitous behavior. In fact, Bakasura represents duplicitous behavior. In his previous life, Bakasura, his name was Suhotra, and he happened to be a disciple of Durvasa Muni. And actually Bakasura is a family of three people. You will see Bakasura, Keshi, Pralambasura. All three are brothers. Bakasura, Keshi, Pralambasura, all three. So, in his previous life, he once went to Shiva's garden where he started plucking the flowers secretly without his knowledge. They started stealing the flowers. Of course, Shiva appeared there. And Shiva said, see, in this lotus, there are exactly 1 lakh lotuses in this pond. And my wife Gauri, she is planning to offer 1 lakh lotuses to Krishna. Every day 100, 100. But there are exactly 1 lakh lotuses. And now you have stolen some without my knowledge, so I curse you to become a demon. That's why they became demons. But then because they also were plucking to offer the lotus to Krishna at that time, so they became demons in Krishna Lila. And then they were killed by Krishna personally and delivered also. But this mentality of Bakasura is called a duplicitous or deceptive behavior. Duplicitous behavior means what? Saying one thing and doing another thing. Or cheating tendency. Like imagine somebody comes near you and swallows you inside. Close up the mouth. Like you find Agassar also did that, if you see. He kept his mouth open in order to swallow Krishna. So, here one interesting sentence he writes in the purport. He says that he could not tolerate Krishna within or without, he says. Within also. Within means inside his mouth. And then he spitted out Krishna because Krishna became very hot. And then outside also he used his beak to pierce Krishna, Krishna's body. And then Krishna tore him apart after that. So, I was telling you about the example of a duplicitous behavior. These people gave blankets to people, but actually the intention was not to serve them, but to kill them, if you see. Kill the people like that. So in this material world, somebody may apparently benefit somebody, but that benefit is also ultimately maybe having some motivations, or it may even hurt the other person. Whereas Krishna is apparently harming the demons, but he is doing them the greatest benefit. You see, he is dancing on Kalia's woods, or he is tearing the beak of Bakasura. But by doing this, he is doing the greatest kalyan for them. He is delivering them and sending them to Brahma Jyoti, or some of them is sending them into his own spiritual abode to eternally join him in service to him. So, the nature of Krishna is that he cannot harm anybody. The very name, Samam Bonam, when you say, Samam Bona means all good. All good. There is not even an iota of bad in Krishna. Even the so-called hurting some demon is also for the benefit of the demon. That's why, you see in this prayer I told you, Anugrahoyam bhavatah kritohino dando vasatam te kalukal mashapah. This is Nagapatni's prayers. They are saying, dando asatam te khalu kalmasha apahaha. The danda that you give Krishna is actually meant for destroying the kalmash. Like that they are saying. Anugrahoyam bhavataha kritohena. The punishment you give is actually an anugraha, they are saying. Nyayohi dandaha. That is another verse they are saying. Nyayohi dandaha. You see Krishna, the danda that you gave is justified. Why? Krita kalbisha is meant because it destroys the kalbisha. It destroys the sinful reaction. Just like, say somebody takes your brother or a sister to a doctor, and doctor takes out the scalpel and knife, and he's a surgeon, and he takes the boil, removes the boil, and your brother is weeping and crying. It may be painful for some time, but then he is removing kalbisha is meant. Krita kalbisha is meant means destroying the pus, which is actually harmful to the system, you see. So, you remove their kalmash, which is causing them trouble. Whatever is causing them trouble, you are taking away the trouble. Sarva amangala hare, that's what you are doing. So, you are doing the greatest welfare. So, nyayohi danda, your danda is justified, Krishna. That's saying. Anugrahoyam, you are doing a great anugraha for them. Actually, even for the demons, Krishna is doing anugraha. And what to speak of the devotees? You see, in each of the pastime you will find demigods are showering flowers after the killing of a particular demon. Whether they shower flowers or not, Krishna is going to kill the demons. But why the demigods showering flowers shows that every time a demon is killed, demigods are very happy because their anxiety is a bit reduced for the demigods. Because every time they see a demon, they know very well that any demon can any time come to the Indraloka and the abode of the devatas and wage a war. And they can become a menace for them. So every time Krishna kills, they are happy. Anyway, they are happy, but Krishna is not just trying to make demigods happy. He is trying to make his covered boys happy, who are his pure devotees. In fact, the pure devotees of Krishna, Krishna benefits them in such a way more than they can benefit themselves by their own. You see, the parents can benefit a child in a better way than the child can benefit himself. Is it not true? Like I remember, in a home, first time they made this sevai. You know sevai? They press like this and they make. So my mother had made some sevai in the kitchen and kept white color sevai. So me and my sisters, we broke open the door. We entered inside and we ate some sevai. My mother had gone into the stores to get some masala and everything to make something. She came and she shouted at us, "Why can't you wait for a couple of hours?" Anyway, we waited. But after we waited, she brought varieties of sevai, you know. They make sevai with some sweet. There are some sweet sevais. Then there are some masala powder they put in that and they make variety. When we ate that, we felt that was much better than the original one we ate, the white one. But sometimes we think we can benefit ourselves more. But our parents always plan to make us, make the children more happy than they can become happy themselves, you see. Krishna also, if we leave the problem to Krishna, he can solve it in a better way than when we try to solve it ourselves. So, the anugraha of Krishna for his devotees is the ultimate. So, these covered boys who are roaming with Krishna in the land of Raja, they are the most fortunate souls, because when Krishna tells them to close their eyes, when the big forest fire comes, they close their eyes without keeping one eye open. Let us see. Let us see what happens. Is it really worth putting faith in Krishna? They don't think like that. Because of that faith, they are always protected. You will see. At every instance. In this way, Krishna is benefiting his covered boyfriends, he is benefiting the demigods, he is benefiting the demons, by giving them liberation. Ultimately, whatever Krishna does is, his whole body, as he says here, you know, is sweet like sugar candy, he says. Then he's also saying it is as soft as lotus. You know. It is very true. Because, you know, elsewhere in another pastime, it is explained Agasura's mouth was so nasty smelling. Because a snake, what it does, it swallows many animals. And then, you know, it crushes them, you know, by enveloping a tree or something. And then the animals, when they die inside, you know, they start giving out a dirty smell, which comes out, fishy smell. So, Agasura's mouth was giving out a fishy smell as cowherd boys were entering in. But then later on, when Krishna entered, you know, Agasura's insides became very fragrant. It's like putting odonil in latrine. Isn't it? It was like that. Because, yeah, you see, Krishna's body is fragrant. Isn't it? Even a place like latrine becomes fragrant when you put some fragrant substances. So when Krishna's body entered, it became very fragrant. And it remained fragrant always after that. Even after Krishna came out, so cowherd boys could use his body as a playground, as a plaything later on. Something similar happened with Putana's body also. As soon as Krishna sucked the milk from her breast, her whole body became fragrant. In fact, when Nanda Baba was coming, he saw from a distance big smoke was coming. He was wondering, is it some yajna going on in Sutala Lok, Bali Maharaj is doing, and the smoke is coming here? He was thinking like that. And not only that, the smoke was a fragrant smoke. Have you ever heard of any story where a demon's body is giving a fragrant smoke? Generally, when the bodies are burned, they give out a very nasty smell. So, why it became fragrant? Because of Krishna touch. By Krishna touch, it became fragrant, you see. So, that is why it's explained here. Krishna's body is like that. It is like sugar candy. It's like as soft as a lotus. Actually, the word lotus is often used in the scriptures in many places. Like our Kunti is glorifying Krishna as Nama Pankajanabhaya, Nama Pankajamaline, Nama Pankajanetraya, Namaste Pankajangraye. For everything she's saying is lotus. She's saying your lotus feet are like lotus, and your nabi is like lotus, your eyes are like lotus, and you're wearing a lotus garland. You may ask why. Because in this world, lotus is the softest flower we have seen. It's the most fragrant flower. It is the most elegant looking flower. It is considered the king amongst flowers, lotus. And also, she's saying lotus feet because in the spiritual world, Krishna stands on the lotus-like spiritual world also. And Krishna's feet are also as soft as a lotus. Yeah. So, in this way, the comparison is given of how Krishna's body is like a lotus, so tender, so soft. At the same time, when he kept it on the you know, head of Kaliya, it was like a thunderbolt, he says. You see, Lord Narasimha also, when he kept his hand on Prahlada's head, Prahlada felt, is it some lotus? He felt. That is why he is saying, Tavakara kamalavare nakam adbhuta shringam. But the nakam were like cutting tools. Any of you from mechanical engineering, you have seen cutting tools? You know cutting tool? They use in lathe machine. Long, long cutting tools. So his fingers are like cutting tools, but his hand was like soft lotus. This is the contradiction resolved in Lord Narasimha. Isn't it? So the cutting tool nails were meant for whom? For Hiranyakashipu. And the soft lotus like palm was meant for Prahalad. So Vajradapi Katoram, Kusumadapi Komalam. You see? So Krishna can, in Krishna all the contradictions are resolved. Taddure, tadvantike. You see? Tadantarasya, tadusarvasya, sasya bahita, he says. Externally exists as Virat Purusha. Inside he exists as Antaryami, Paramatma. Similarly, he is far away, he is near. Similarly, he is very soft also. And he is very hard also. The gopis are saying, Krishna, when you walk to the jungle, your lotus feet, they touch the pebbles and thorns and thickets and kusha grasses and they become pinkish. And we are fearful. They become so pink, it appears that your feet may be pierced by them and it may bleed. Huh? So your feet are so tender and soft, huh? They are saying. But here are the same feet of Krishna when they danced on Kaliya, how heavy and like thunderbolt. It is said Kaliya felt very great heaviness. Why? Because Lord is carrying the whole Brahmanda in his belly, that's why. Nalika Shukadeva Goswami is saying. Because Lord Krishna carries, is called as the Dham Udara, you say, no? Dham Udara means inside his belly there is whole Brahmanda, so the whole body becomes heavy because of that. So, of course, it's not that Krishna's body is heavy, but Krishna can make it heavy whenever he wishes, because he is the master of all mystics. Like when once he was lying, when Mother Yashoda kept him down, you know, when he wasn't in the lap of Mother Yashoda, he was becoming very heavy. So when she lifted and kept Krishna down, he became light like a feather. Why? So Trinavarti can carry him. Because if Trinavarti is initially only Krishna is heavy, then the pastime only cannot take place. So Krishna purposefully became very light. And Trinavarti thought he's a light baby. So he put him on his shoulder and carried him. And then when he went to great heights after having a nice joy ride on the back of Trinavarti, after having seen very nice aerial beauty from the top, now Krishna thought, now the time has come to finish this fella. Then he caught hold of his neck and increased his weight. Isn't it? Increased it as if like a Meru Parvat. Such weight that the fellow came crashing down to the ground, all his bones breaking to powder. Isn't it? So, Krishna can make himself very heavy and he can make himself very light. Even the yogis attaining Ashtasiddhis, they have this power of anima, mahima and all these things which they beg and borrow from Krishna in minute quantities. What to speak of Krishna who has the oceanic siddhis in himself. So, for him to show this contradiction is not very great. It's nothing great for him. The six type of juices come from one of the material eyes of Krishna, the moon. Sun and the moon. Pushtami chaushadi sarva soma bhutva rasatmaka. He says, when I see with my two eyes, with the sun and moon, two eyes, what happens? The moon supplies the juices. And one juice is sweet, another juice is bitter. You see? Sweet, bitter, astringent, pungent, salt, sour, six type of juices. So, if Krishna wants to exhibit sweetness, he can. And if he wants to exhibit bitterness, he can also. But for those who are Ayurvedic patients, they are given bitter juices. Isn't it? Like Kerala juice. Although one may like to eat Srikhand, and Rasagulla, doctor says, no, you drink Kerala juice every day. So the Kerala juice is actually meant to remove the poison out. So Krishna also, in the same manner, for demons he gives Kerala juice. He doesn't show his sweetness. You see, authority is seen as authority when there is rebellion in the subordinate. This is a sentence appearing in the 11th canto of Bhagavatam, one purport. Authority is seen as an authority when there is rebellion in the subordinate. So all these demons, they don't accept Krishna's authority. So Krishna proves to them that he is the authority. And he has to do that. And he has to remove their sinful tendencies, their sinful reactions, cleanse them. And do it in such a way that they can't harm anyone. Especially his devotees. They cannot harm. And Krishna has to cleanse by proving his authority over them. But what about the coward boys? No, he doesn't have to prove them his authority. He simply becomes their friend. He becomes their lover. Because they have already accepted his authority long ago. Many, many millions of lives ago. And they have surrendered to him. They have surrendered to him in such a way, Krishna has developed such deep love for them, that he is treating them not only as an equal, he is treating them even better than himself. Like that. But otherwise, anyone who becomes a demon like this, or the previous demons you read, you know, and acts against Krishna's interests, acts against Krishna's large-scale plan for this world, which is actually Brahminical culture. What is Brahminical culture? Krishna taught in Vrindavan, worship Govardhan, worship the Brahmanas, worship the cows, isn't it? Worship GBC, Govardhan, Brahmanas and cows. Easy to remember. Isn't it? So, this is Brahminical culture. So, follow the Guru Parampara, Acharyas. Then you align, then you are very safe. గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతంకి, శీల ప్రభుపాదకి, గౌర భక్త వృందకి థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్. గౌర భక్త వృంద